As you give this morning, it delights me to be able to introduce to you our guest speaker this morning. And come on up, Jeremy. Christine and Jeremy Faiza, they are here, and they are here with, sure, absolutely. Just two parts there to it. And that was awesome. Sorry. As soon as I started clapping, you picked it up, it fell off. No one's seen that. Can I ask you, what's the temperature in Tanzania right now?
It's a bit warmer.
It's a bit warmer, yeah. Okay.
But you have to remember, I haven't been there in 4 months.
That's right. That's
so when true. I left, we flew into Toronto, we landed, and Ben complained. He walked outside the Toronto airport, looks around on September 2nd, turns to the other kids and says, "You said we were in Canada."
Well, guess what?
Mm-hmm. Now we're in Canada.
Now we're in Canada. Listen, yeah. I know you guys have been traveling around and doing, I forget how many thousands of kilometers. You'll tell everybody, but you guys are going back just before the end of the month. And we're just glad that you were able to pop by here and able to talk to us this morning. So God bless you, and I guess I'll see you in a half hour or so.
Sounds good.
Okay.
Well, it's really fun to be here. This is good. Hopefully this thing doesn't collapse on me again. If it does, I'm just going to leave it down and go on. But this morning, I'm coming here fresh off the heels of having been down in St. Louis with about 16,500 family. I was down there at the Urbana Conference. I don't know, have you heard of the Urbana Conference? So Urbana is a young adult missions conference that happens once every 3 years. And this is the second time I've had the privilege of being there representing Pomoja and just trying to recruit as many of those 15,000 as I can. I'm working on about 500 right now. So if you could be in prayer about that would be great. But this morning, I could go ahead and rehash some of the things that I just heard over the last week. And sometimes it's an incredible experience. You get to go and sit and hear the best talking. You get totally filled up and ready to go, and all you want to do is tell people the same thing. And I could do a really bad job of rehashing what David Platt said, or I could do a really bad job of revising what Francis Chan said, or I could do a really bad job of any of them. But I tell you, it was an amazing experience for me to have the chance to be there and sitting and soaking in what these men of God and these women of God were saying and what God's doing in them and what God's put on their hearts. I'm not going to do that because I'm pretty clear about what it is that God's called me to be about and to be doing right now. And so I would love to actually spend some time walking through the book of Matthew like we just did over the last 5 or 6 days. An incredible exposition on Matthew, pulling it open, pulling it apart, pulling things to light that I had never seen before in all of the years of reading the Bible over and over. But I'm in an incredible opportunity that I've got is to share with you what God's been doing in my life and what God's been saying to me and what God has been working through the ministry that he's called us to be a part of. And the best way that I can possibly start that is by getting way less serious and letting the kids do the talking for a minute. Now, it's dangerous to put kids on stage, so I'm not going to do that. Natasha, hi, can you wave? Put your hand up. There's Natasha sitting with Lucas's. The other kids are back there. But I'm not going to get them up here on stage. Instead, we're going to do it digitally, virtually, and we'll let them speak. Now, we make these videos once a year, and then they get shown in Sunday school primarily, but I love it, and this is such a fun one that I'm going to show it all to you and let the kids do the talking about the ministry. And I'll be back in a few minutes, so.
Hello, my name is Paul Jeremy Faser. When I moved to Tanzania, I was 9 weeks old. I've lived here for my whole life. Jacob is my big brother. Tasha is my sister. Ben is my little brother. My mom's name is Christine, and my dad's name is Jeremy. We work with Pomoja Ministries. Pomoja Ministries is discipling cultures through media. I am 6 years old, and I'm finishing first grade. My teacher is my grandma, and she teaches me every workday for an hour. My parents teach me the rest. When I finish all my schoolwork early, I get to do listening skills. That's my favorite part of school. My whole family has their own desk in the schoolroom. When I school with Grandma, I do it in her office.
My name is Natasha Fraser. I am just finishing second grade. I'm 7 years old. I am homeschooled by my mom and sometimes my dad. Science is my favorite subject because we get to do crafts a lot. Sometimes my grandpa teaches us science. My grandpa is a scientist. He got his degree in science in university. It's really, really fun to have a real scientist for a science teacher. One of the many projects that Komodo is doing now is called Wewenami. Wewenami is a kids' TV show. We are making Wewenami to teach Swahili-speaking children about the life of Joseph and how to handle their emotions and hard situations. Mwanangu is a puppet made by one of our missionaries at Pamoja. Since the puppet can't hold anything, or draw, or color, they made a glove that fits me, so I hide behind the set and pretend to be Mwanangu's hand. I like that I can be part of what Pamoja Ministries is doing.
My name is Jacob. I'm 9 years old. I'm just finishing fourth grade. For all of my fourth grade year, we've been homeschooling. My favorite thing about homeschooling is that you can wear your pajamas all day, every day, if you want to. Most Saturdays, we have to do Saturday school. But that's okay, because during the week, there's so much going on here at Pamoja, and we get to help. This year, we've had missionaries from 5 different countries on 4 different continents. From North America, we had missionaries from Canada and the United States. Natasha, who is here from Australia, was with us for 4 years. She helped with the writing of scripts and curriculums and all sorts of stuff like that. Tony and Deanna and their kids were here volunteering from Bulgaria for a year. Tony is a videographer and an editor, and Deanna has helped show Nipijipu, our film, in the villages. The fun thing about their kids is that they all have birthdays within a week of kids from our family. Lucy and Angela are here from Kenya, which shares a border with us here in Tanzania. They have helped us a lot with translating and editing written material. They have also been a big help to Wewenami, our kids' TV show. Kirsten Libby came for 3 months this year. She is training to be a tradeswoman in Canada. While she was here, she helped us with building and construction, even the sets for Wewenami. She plans to come back and volunteer with us again in the future. It's so fun to live and work with people from so many different places with so many different skills.
My name is Ben, and I'm 4 years old. I go to school in my grandma's office. I'm learning my letters and my numbers, and next year I'll start kindergarten. I learned about growing things by growing an avocado tree. Thanks for watching our video. Bye-bye from the Fasers.
Mm-hmm. Bye boy from the Fasers. I can't do it. I'm not that cute anymore. My first experience in Africa came when I was about 10 years old. We moved to what was then called Zaire. We were in Kinshasa. And the first perceptions that I have stuck with me over the years. And it was incredible. But one of the things that I saw is that the church was growing. It was one of the first things that I could see with my own eyes. And so I have always had that idea of Africa as a place where revival is happening. Now, I don't know if that's what you think of when you think of Africa, but for me, that's one of the foundational images, is this idea that the growth of the church is just going on incredibly quickly. And as a result of that, in many cases, the growth of the church has outpaced the ability of the church to prepare leaders. And so in 1988, when I went over there, I was not the guy here with the beard. That wasn't me. But I was going to become a part of something that I didn't even understand at that point. And Mom and Dad got called as missionaries, and so we went. And God began to shape the ministry that Christine and I are now involved in even today. And so Pamoja, the ministry that we're involved in, has been and is and continues to be involved in discipling cultures through media.
And that is the very thing that we want to be doing. That's what we're involved in. There we go. This thing is new to me. It's okay. I'll get there. And discipling cultures to the media is an incredibly good mandate. It's a good mission. It's what God called us to do, and it's a very significant, it fits right nicely into the Great Commission. It fits nicely into what the church has always been called to do. And that really is good, and it's a mission that's being effective. I can say that. But leadership training is what I would have answered. Last time I was here, if you'd said, Jeremy, what does discipling cultures through media mean? Why are you guys doing that? I would have said that we had a need for leadership development. I would have told you that we needed to raise up church leaders. I would have told you about all of the things that we've been doing for 20, 25 years as an organization to just do just that. And those are good things, and they continue on. But in March of last year, the leadership team of Pomojo, we were away for a couple of days of prayer and planning, and God began to speak to us. I love it when that happens. It makes me think I need to take more days of prayer and planning. But somehow it's always difficult to get enough of that time because we get so caught up in doing. Anyway, as we were praying, as we were talking to God, and as we were planning with each other, God began to show us something that was happening. He began to put something new in our hearts and minds. And it's incredible because it lines up so perfectly with what we've always been doing. And it basically stems from the same situations and it's wrapped up in the same conversations, but it's different. And so when we look at what's going on in East Africa right now, we have another situation. We have a new normal in Tanzania and East Africa, and that normal is kids. So I did the research, I looked it up on Google last night, so this is an absolutely infallible fact, is that the average age in Canada is just a hair short of 40 years old. Now that means that I've got a couple years yet left before I'm average. I'm still young here. In Tanzania, I have been over average for half of my life. The average age in Tanzania is 17. We're living and working in the youngest region of the youngest continent in the world. And it shows up in many different areas. In Tanzania, we've got 21 million kids, 14 and under. If you take that out across the rest of the region that we're working in, adding in Kenya and Uganda and Rwanda, Burundi, and the eastern part of Congo, that number grows dramatically. 50, 60, 70 million kids. It is incredible. I don't know if you can picture that, but so I was just at Urbana, and I was sitting with a whole bunch of people who are 19, 20, 21, and I was sitting there watching them thinking about how young they are and thinking that if we were in Tanzania, they are all above the average age. They're all in the older half. It's an incredible demographic thing that's happened, and what's happening is it's really interesting because these kids are growing up in families that, by and large, have been converted to Christianity. Their parents got saved in the revivals that I saw as a kid growing up. And I mean, it's not 100% by any means. In Kenya, it's more than 50% of people identify as Christian. In Tanzania, it's somewhere between a third and a half. There has been this massive revival, and these kids are growing up in church. And they're growing up in churches that don't necessarily know what to do with them. This sign we see very often, we're driving into Arusha. This is the sign that says, hey, you're in Arusha. And I don't know if you can really read that really well. It has nothing to do with us. They pronounce our last name Feza in Tanzania, which is unfortunate because that means wealth. But so Feza International Junior Academy has nothing at all to do with me, but I thought it was kind of interesting. And so we'll maybe zoom in a little bit there. And I don't know if you can read that, but this is a very noble goal. Let us shape the future of new generation, ladies and gentlemen. I'm not going to send my kids to that school. But it is a really good... Okay, I'm being serious here. It captures somehow the business that we are about. Because there are many voices which wish to shape or shape the future. There are many voices that are speaking, and there are many different groups that are going to attempt to gather the hearts and the minds of the young people. And the children are so plentiful, and the church is uniquely unprepared to minister to them. So if you look at the church in East Africa, there are very, very few children's pastors. There are very, very few children's ministries. There are very few churches that have any idea of how to do a children's ministry. And so it gives us an interesting opportunity, but it represents as well what sociologists tell us is a real, very real threat. Because when you've got a country that is that young, as those kids begin to grow up, it creates a recipe for disaster. It creates every opportunity for failure. Massive, massive groups of people who are willing to change in any direction. And so, in Tanzania, in East Africa, we have got a window of opportunity. We have got a window of time. And we have an incredibly strong mandate from God to be involved in this conversation. And I believe very strongly that the only thing that we can provide is discipleship. That's of any particular value. Formation into the image of Jesus Christ. You know, salvation belongs to the Lord. He does that. The work of the Holy Spirit is to convict people of sin. But we were told to go and make disciples. And so we can be involved in lives and in that discipleship conversation. I love that picture. That was a school that we were at a couple of years back. So I want to quote Philippians 4:8 for you this morning. Philippians 4:8 says, "Therefore, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable." Are you getting the repetition here? "If anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about these things." And I don't know about you, but I think by and at large, if I were to talk to people across this country, across North America, and asked you what your image of the African child was, there isn't a lot in that that is noble and right and pure and uplifting and excellent and praiseworthy. Because we've been fed a line, which is interesting. And so I do not want to argue about the need to do ministry to kids in need. That is true. But in Tanzania, less than 2% of kids are orphans. 98% are not. In Tanzania, within a year or two, obesity is going to be as big a problem as malnourishment. In Tanzania, every kid that I see, not every, but virtually all of them, are growing up in a community that wants to see them succeed. And so the picture is slightly different than the one that has been painted over the years for us of what's going on. We've got groups of people living in families. We've got families that are surviving. We've got families and communities that want to see their children succeed. But the kids are growing up and they're asking, "Who can I become? What options are open to me in life? What does it mean for me to be a success in life?" And they're going to learn that one way or another. And they can grow up, and they can grow up believing that no one from here has ever succeeded, therefore I won't succeed. That's a possible narrative. They can grow up believing any number of things, and I could just leave it to you to fill in some of those blanks if you wanted to. But I have a lot of narratives that I want them to believe. There are things that are going on that I want them to see. There are people who have gone before that I want them to follow. And obviously, first on that list would be Jesus. And we've just finished the Christmas season. We've talked about the incarnation, Jesus coming to be like us so that we can be like him. That is an incredible call. That whole life, that time he spent on earth, he spent so that we would be able to identify with him. I love reading in Hebrews. There's this incredible passage. I'll get to it in a bit. But the story of people who have gone before and lived, the people who have gone by faith and succeeded, the people who have accomplished all these things of value, some of them in the Bible and some of them more recent than that. And so I would really like Tanzanian kids to grow up believing Tanzania is a nation of peace. We are a peaceful people. You know that's true. Tanzania just went through another election without violence. Every single time since 1995, they go through elections and the world holds their breath and talks about, is this the one? Ladies and gentlemen, they've got a peaceful democracy. People in Tanzania want peace. I love that. I love that story. Why don't we hear that story enough? I want them to know growing up saying Jesus was perfect and I've been called to be like him. I want them to grow up saying he cared for me, I'm going to care for others. I want them to grow up being formed into the image of Christ Jesus. And there are barriers to that. There really are. And I picked on three this morning. There are three barriers. One is that this generation in East Africa is so different from their parents' generation, that the change that's happened in East Africa over the last decades is just so incredible. The second barrier I want to look at is the fact that churches aren't resourced very well to minister to kids. And the third one is what we were just talking about, that the stories of failure are the ones that are predominantly being portrayed. And so, you know, if we look at Tanzania and we look at what's happened over the past number of years, in 1962, Paramount Pictures released a movie called Hatari. And Hatari was a pretty crazy movie. I watch it, we keep it around just to show people what Arusha used to be like. But in it, John Wayne is chased by wild animals through the streets of Arusha. And the producer of that film was on record as saying that when they came to produce that film in Tanzania, they hired, quote, every car they could hire in the country. So that's a bit of a different picture than Tanzania today. But we don't have to go back that far. Color television came to Tanzania, to the mainland, in 1994. How many of you watched TV in color before 1994? A few of you. What were the rest of you doing? You're already on Netflix. Tanzania today, it would be unrecognizable to the parents and grandparents of before. The change has been so dramatic. There are no rhinoceroses running the streets of Arusha. There really aren't. There are 150, insert superlatives here, motorcycles roaming the streets of Arusha. There are more and more and more cars every day. There are cell phone towers everywhere. There are a desperate lack of roads compared to the number of people and cars on the roads. There is an incredible growth rate, 8% a year. The economy's been growing at for the last 5 or so years. And things have been radically changed. And one of the things that happens when things change quickly is that other people are slow to change. And so, there we are. The church has to be careful to keep up with the change. Because sometimes what we do is we keep talking the way it makes us feel good to talk. Sometimes we keep saying the things that we liked to hear, and we keep talking in a way that gives, you know, gives us the sense that we can say, man, I did a good job of talking today. But John 1 talks about the word made flesh dwelling among us. It talks about that contextualization. It talks about the idea that God came and crossed over boundaries and barriers. He went to a worse place from a better in order to communicate effectively. And so when I analyze the generation that is growing up in East Africa and I look for common threads on how this group of people are getting their information, how they communicate, how they are learning, and what is shaping their worldview, I come up with one answer, and that is through media. And you may not have that picture of Africa particularly. You may not think of African kids watching TV. You may not think of Twitter and WhatsApp and Facebook, and I don't have a picture of the sign, but we've got these gorgeous signs all over Arusha. There's these big signs stuck to light posts, and they say WTF on them. And it means WhatsApp, Twitter, and Facebook, because they're available for free on the carrier networks. And so people are connecting, constantly connecting. In Kenya, there are more cell phone lines than people. Tanzania is not far behind. In Kenya, over a third of the GDP of the country goes across phone-to-phone communications with mobile money. This is not the picture of Africa that I think most of us have. In Tanzania, there are two companies right now trying to launch direct-to-cell-phone TV services. It's a wild place to be. And if we're not careful, what we're going to do is we're going to build bigger billboards. We're going to say this isn't working. Let's put up a second billboard. No, black and white. It was black and white. We need a full color billboard. And at the end of the day, the illiterate are still not going to connect with a billboard to them. And I mean, this is, it's just a ridiculous thing, but it's so sometimes typical. It describes so well some of the things that go on in our own hearts and in our own minds. And so then we're talking about resources and the fact that the church isn't resourced. So Tanzania is relatively poor. There are a relative lack of resources. And if we count materials available in local language as the measure of wealth, then they are poor indeed. My dad and my mom for the past 25 years have been involved in getting materials into Swahili. And they were called all kinds of names for it at various times, told by people that they were wasting their time, and if they wanted to do translation, they could go and get linguistics degrees and start doing Bible translation, because that's really what mattered. But if we stop at the Bible and give people nothing else, and we've only given them a tiny, tiny, tiny little picture into the learning that has happened as a church community over the last 2,000 years. And so Dad spent a huge amount of time doing translation of good resources, and that has paid dividends and is paying dividends. We have an opportunity now to speak to kids. And this, the lady on the far left of the top picture and in the bottom picture there, her name is Martina. And Martina has worked at Pomoja now for more than a decade. And Martina was engaged to be married. And then her fiance died. And she had the opportunity to be very, very bitter about that. But she chose a different path. And she chose instead to start raising other people's kids. And so she went and she turned a corner in her life and became a children's pastor. And we've had a chance to work with her and see her developing over this. And her choir, her kids' choir is incredible. And being prayed for by her kids when they're ministering is fantastic. And she is doing an amazing job of connecting with her kids. But she's an exception in that most churches don't have children's pastors. Most churches, even if they do, what they do is they gather the children in a smaller room like this one and they preach to them. And it's not because they don't like kids. Tanzanians love kids. When we took, when Ben and Tash and Paul and they were babies and we'd walk around in town, the kids get scooped up out of your arms and taken away to go show grandma. It's a beautiful place. I've been on buses where you watch some businessman in a suit bouncing a kid on his knee for 8 hours, and then when it's time for him to get off, he returns the child to its mother and goes on his way. Tanzanians love kids, but they are not resourced to minister to them. And so it's our job to try and multiply Martina. And so Martina is actively involved in some of the things that we're doing, and it's fun to watch her because already, from the start, she's already ministering to others, and I love seeing that happen. And then the third category that I was talking about was this idea of what stories predominate. So that's a picture of Julius Nyerere, who was the first president of Tanzania and is one of the men that can be pointed to as an African statesman, somebody who was in leadership in a country in Africa and who left an indelibly good mark. And people would love to pick him apart and pick his legacy apart because he was terrible at economics. I'm going to leave that aside for a moment and say that Julius Nyerere built a country out of a whole bunch of very bizarre pieces that he was handed. He was handed Tanganyika, this thing that had been created by agreement between the Germans and the Brits, based on geographical boundaries, and he created and forged a national identity that is incredible, and it's incredibly strong, and it's been very, very good. Nyerere is a hero. He is the kind of person that I want to see kids in Tanzania saying, hey, look, that guy did it, and so I can do it as well. And we have these problems that happen when we put out heroes, which is that I think I could put Bill Gates' face up there and it wouldn't speak to Tanzanian kids in the same way as Julius Nyerere's would. Because it's so easy for us to say, but he's not like me. I don't have any of his advantages in life. That can't be done. And so I was talking earlier about Hebrews, and Hebrews 11 is this by faith chapter, and then Hebrews 12 continues right where that leaves off. And Hebrews 12, 1 and 2, the first part, say, therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, which witnesses? The by faith chapter that just went before, by faith Noah, by faith Jephthah, by faith women, by faith people, by faith they. Let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus. So Jesus is the goal. Jesus is the destination. But there are all of these people that walk alongside us in life and make it possible for us to achieve what we can do. And so the antidote to stories of failure, the thing that solves the problem of stories of failure is really simple. It's stories of success. And we see that narrative in Canada as well, that push and that pull between it, where stories of failure come. And we have to be careful whether we identify ourselves with those stories of failure and get dragged down. Oh, but then we see a story of success, and then we are lifted up. It'd be easy to be despondent because we just lost World Juniors again. Like, come on, guys. I thought we were the greatest hockey nation in the world. But we're blessed to have a plethora of stories, to have this huge, vast set of stories that we're being handed, and to be able to build our identity off of those. And so our job is to try and make sure that there are good stories being told in East Africa as well. And so, friends, truth doesn't change. It doesn't. It ever changes. But culture changes all the time. It always changes. And if we're not careful, we end up getting confused, and we end up changing truth to appeal to people, and that's not useful. Or we end up sticking with the culture that we once had and glorifying that, and that's not useful. So what we have to do is we have to bring the tools of today, the language of today, the way that people are communicating today, and bring it to bear on the same eternal truths. And so for us, what that means is finding stories of hope to tell to the children of East Africa. For us, that means finding good news stories, Hebrew 11 stories, Philippians 4:8 stories, these stories that are true, noble, right, pure, lovely, admirable, excellent, praiseworthy. Second of all, we have to speak in ways that the children of Tanzania are able and willing to listen. We have to engage with people in a way that they want to speak. And that is media. And I've said that, and it's just an incredible thing. And the great thing about the situation we're in right now is that we're able to do that and be very effective at very low budgets. So the TV show that you like the best right now, I promise you it has a larger budget than the TV show I'm working on. We're going to be able to do TV, and we're going to be able to do it at about $6,000 an episode, which is peanuts in the world of media production. And we're working on that, and we're getting ready. And we've the first season of the first show we went to do, that one that Natasha was talking about in the video. We were getting ready to do a fundraising video. We were getting ready to email you and say, hey, will you sponsor these first 13 episodes? And God connected us to someone who decided to sponsor one and then the whole series. And so you were never even asked for that, because God was in it already and he was making a way straight. And so it's just been an incredible faith experience for us to be walking down that road and seeing his hand already at work. And so we're going to get these materials ready, and we're going to roll them out on national TV in at least Tanzania and Kenya. And I know that that's possible. I know for sure that we're going to be successful with that. We've never done it, but I can speak by faith. I can see it, and the conversations we've had with the networks, they're excited and desperate to get their hands on it. There's some chance that we'll even get a bidding war started. Wouldn't that be fun? Then the third thing that we have to do is we have to resource the church. And so we're going to take those same materials, boil them back down to the gospel that they're built on. We're going to take that and create Sunday school and VBS materials. And then we're going to begin to roll that out across churches across East Africa. Begin to resource churches both with the theology of children's ministry and with tools that they need to be able to do it. And there's just a limitless set of possibilities for us in that. And so this morning, this is an invitation to you guys to be a part of that story. You already are. Some of you have known Christine and I for a lot of years. Some of you have no idea who I am or why I am up here. If you're in that second category, come say hi. I'd really love to meet you. I'd really love to connect with you. This is our home church. This is the place where we come back and the kids are like, oh, and that's where you told us that story, and that's where you told us, oh, that's the story about that person. Oh, that person. And the church, by and large, has done an incredibly good job of remaining connected with us. I want to praise children's ministry here. They've done an incredible job of keeping our kids connected to kids in this church, and I love that. It's such an easier thing for us to come here when the kids are excited and they know people and they want to be a part of what's going on. But I want to invite you to be a part of the story of what God's doing in Tanzania. And maybe that means that you should get on an airplane and come over to Tanzania. I've just finished 5 solid days of the recruit spiel, and I can do that. Just, I'm good at it. Come find me and I'll recruit you. Oh. The Bible says the laborers are few, and it means it. Maybe at some point we'll be ready and you guys can send a team of children's ministry people to come and actually train the trainers for some denomination and how to do kids ministry and roll out the first series of a VBS curriculum. Maybe you just need to Skype us into one of your midweek groups or something. Make us a part of a home group or something that's going on midweek. Love to do that. That's fun. Maybe you just need to be our hands extended in this community as well. Because I tell you that my heart breaks for this country as well, and I pray for Canada, and I pray for the things that I see happening. But there's an incredible opportunity for us to walk this road together. The second way you can be involved is by giving, and this church has been the cornerstone of Christine and I and our ability to minister in East Africa. It's very easy for me to think that I'm all that. But at the end of the day, if you guys didn't give, we wouldn't be there, and it's that simple. It really is. And so this is your ministry as well. If you're one of the people that does, never even heard of me before, please come talk to me. Come, and I will be happy to tell you how you can be involved in that on a month-to-month basis. This church is extremely meaningful in missions, and it's a great church to have as a home church. And then thirdly, you can begin to speak out that Philippians 4:8 worldview. And I want to encourage you as I close to do that. I want you to be the people, the kind of people who don't get carried away with the stories of failure, the kind of people who don't get dragged down into that narrative of all the things that could go wrong and all the ways that this could go off the rails. And I mean that again about East Africa, and I mean that about Canada, and I mean that about this church, and I mean this about this community. I mean that about your government. I mean that about your boss. I mean that about all of the situations in life that we're involved in. The Bible says, whatever's true, whatever's noble, whatever's right, whatever's pure, whatever's lovely, whatever's admirable, if anything, not everything, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about these things. Set your minds on things above. We are people of hope. We are people with the greatest story ever. And sometimes we don't live that way. And I promised I'm not going to preach this morning. But will you go with that? Will you take that? And will you think about that? And will you apply it to your own lives in whatever areas it is that God has called you to be a part of? And together we will transform the nations. Come see us at the end. Come see Christine and I. Say hi to us. Give us a hug. It's wonderful. It's so good to be here. And I really am thankful for the opportunity to share with you. And I hope that you get just a little tiny taste of where we're going over the coming years. There are so many things that I could talk about. But I just want to close in prayer and then I'll turn it back over to Tim here. And you can go ahead and you can pray for us, and I hope that you do that on a regular basis. But this morning, I want to pray for you guys.